When your spirit wakes up, hallelujah. Come on now. Some of you more mature born-again believers, you understand the idea, the spiritual concept of your spirit waking up. My spirit man was in many ways imprisoned by my soul life and my flesh life. My spirit man in many ways was kept under wraps by an overactive soul life, an overactive mind, a memory-based pain. In the name of Jesus, see, all personal pain comes with a memory base to it, see. And yo, I don't know yet. Yeah, I haven't seen a supervisor, so I've just been chilling until they find me. See, your spirit gotta take control of your life. See, your spirit was made alive when the flesh and blood of Christ entered into it and built a temple. See, your spirit became alive, meaning that it became accessible to God, see. If you want to know a secret, anything that's not accessible to God in God's eyes is dead. Because you're not accessible to his power, to his will, to his purpose, see, to his spirit. See, when you became born again, the Holy Spirit, the name of Jesus, came and sat down in a temple that was built of the flesh and blood of Christ that's placed inside of your spirit. And then the Holy Spirit sits down in that temple. That's how you're born again, see. You're not just born again because you made a confession of faith. You're not just born again because you believe the Lord Jesus Christ died for your sins. No. You're born again when that temple is built inside of your spirit. And the Holy Spirit comes and sits down in that temple. That's born again. So when your heart opens up and you confess that Jesus Christ is the Lord, is the Son of God, and died for your sins, and you receive that, you say, Lord, be my Lord. Jesus, be my God, see? That's the difference. You got a lot of believers out there, see? The whole world is filled with a lot of believers that Christ did and is who he said he is and who he was when he came to earth to fulfill his mission and his purpose. They believe that. But they never made it a personal. They never brought it into their heart space, see? You got to bring Jesus into your personal heart space and say, Lord, this is your confession. See, this is the power of confession and the power of words. See, you can say to God, God, Lord, Lord Jesus, come into my heart, come into my life, come into my spirit, Lord. Place your Holy Spirit inside of my spirit. See, that's receiving familyship. That's coming into the family. You see what I'm saying? Say, Lord, come into my heart, come into my life, come into my mind, come into my spirit, Lord. Give me your Holy Spirit that I might live for you and with you forevermore. See, that's acceptance. See, that's being born again. If a person says in their heart and their minds that, you know, I got a debt to pay, something wrong, something is dark and black in my heart, see. And I need to get that fixed, see, because I don't want to go through life like this and like that. But not only that, but this man's love has touched my heart. And I want to know who he is. I want to know what he thinks about me in more in-depth ways. See, I want a personal relationship with this man, Jesus Christ. We can move into the realm of salvation, but to be born again means that the Spirit of the living God lives inside of you. Not just his spirit of creation. See, God can speak things and it comes into creation. See, he has a creation spirit also. But to be born into his family, you have to receive a blood transfusion. You have to receive a flesh and blood transfusion. You need to receive a skin graft and a blood transfusion. You need to put on the body of Christ or enter into the body of Christ. in the name of Jesus by asking him to be your God. See, come on now. We're going to make it plain to you. If you was another religion, you would ask that God, you would bow down and give homage to that, whatever God that is. And you would bring that God into your house, bring that God into your heart. You would pray to it for your family. You would pray to it. You would give offerings to it, whether it was a rat, whether it was a cow, whether it was a statue, whether it was stone, whether it was a rock, whether it was a cube, whether it was a triangle. You gave your attention, you gave your affections to it. You brought it into your heart. You bring the idol into your heart, it becomes your God. So the notion of creating, the notion of connecting a human being to a God is not new to the concept of the spirit. You see, in my opinion, when you bring the living God, the Lord Jesus Christ, into your heart, you get more than you could ever imagine. See? You get one that's seated in heavenly places in the name of Jesus. You get a Lord that sits next to his Father and intercedes on your behalf in Jesus. You get a fellowship with the great I am. You get to swap out your flesh, swap out your mind, swap out your pain. See, this is an exchange program with God. See, when you come into the body of Christ, it's time to begin to exchange things that's not like him, mindset that's not like his. Ways of thinking is not in line with his Son. See, you're going after a man now. See, you're going after a man. You have a God. You have a God in the name of Jesus. Now you have a destination, see, for your soul. You have a destination for your spirit. You have a destination for your body in the name of Jesus. See, when you become born again, you come into God's family, see, and God gets to begin to welcome you to the ways of the kingdom, see. He begins to introduce you to the mind of his Son. See, he begins to tell you of the things he has in store for you, the kingdom life, see. But the guidebook is the Bible. Don't worry about the religious voices that tell you this and tell you that. That book is a guidebook to your spirit. That book is a guidebook to your soul. That book is a guidebook to your fleshly life. So you can dress yourself up in Christ. So you can fashion yourself and your mind in the likeness and image of Christ. Wasn't that the reason you was created for in the first place? I created them. Let us create man in our image and our likeness. Well, what do you think the image and the likeness of God is? It's the Son of Jesus. It's the Son. It's the Son. The name of Jesus. Jesus Christ is the likeness in the image of God. In the name of Jesus, perfected. Don't worry. I'll push it forward. I'll push the cart down the road a little bit. I'm going up the hill, but I think I'm peeking at the top of the mountain. And now the ride might get a little easier because my soul has woken up. My soul is beginning to realize that you got to take the subordinate role in this man's life. I had to shake my soul woke and say, listen, you no longer run this. I had to slap my soul man around and say, listen, you no longer are in control. I had to collar up my soul man and grab my flesh by his big toe and say, you no longer run this. You no longer control this. You no longer have authority over this vessel. My life, my temple, my spirit man has stood up. I hope I get to preach this in sincerity for a little longer, in a little cleaner ways, you know. Was you always trying to clean up the vessel? It's the vessel, the physical vessel, always like to dibble and dabble in things of this earth, things of this world, connections to the world. That's why I love the Bible. I love the word of God. It talks about moderation. Hallelujah. You know, God, in this present day time, doesn't mind the moderation of your life. In the name of Jesus. There was a time you got to blame that moderation on Jesus. There was a time that there was no mercy. If you came to the mountain and he told you don't go to the mountain, and you went there anyway, you didn't survive. There were times that God, the Father, you was in the presence of the Father, and he didn't hold back his hand. He didn't hold back his sword. See? I see when your spirit man wakes up. See, your spirit man can set to rest all of the fear you have in your heart. When your spirit man rises up, see, your spirit man is connected to the Spirit of God. See, your spirit man is fellowshipping with the Holy Spirit. See. So when your spirit man, your spirit personality wakes up and take control of your vessel, you tell your soul with that old wicked mouth to hold on, hush, and shut your mouth. You tell that old flesh to sit down, and you're not going over there. You're not watching that. We're not doing that. Your spirit rises up and take control and say, no, that's not what we're doing. See, your goal is to become a mature, born-again believer so that your spirit is running your show. I heard an echo. Is this mic on? In the name of Jesus. You haven't heard this yet, born again believer. And your job is to mature your spirit enough to take over your vessel. See, that's a process. You have to grow your spirit up enough to take over your life, take over your mind, take over your finances, take over your relationships. In the name of Jesus, it's easy to run. It's easy to hide. It's easy to disappear. In the name of Jesus, enter, pick a subject and go there. But when you begin to grow your spirit up, wherever you think you hide and you can't stay hid, when you grow your spirit up, wherever you think you ducking and getting away from God, you find that he's around the corner. If you go up into the mountains and try to hide under some groves, he's there. If you go down into the depths of the ocean and seek out an underwater cave, he's right there waiting for you. Why? Because he has an investment in you. Your God has a physical investment in you. See, your God has a physical investment in you. Why? Because his Holy Spirit is living inside of you, and his Holy Spirit doesn't like a lot of uncomfortable things. The Holy Spirit does not like a lot of uncomfortable ways of thinking. The Holy Spirit does not like the vessel filled with a bunch of bitterness. You got to throw off the shackles of bitterness. You got to throw off the shackles of trying to impress yourself in the name of Jesus. It's all right. You got a greater teacher. You got a greater mentor than yourself. See, the Holy Spirit is a greater mentor to you than you are to yourself. See, that's many of our problems. You've been trying to grow yourself up. You've been trying to teach yourself, but you need to place yourself at the feet of the Holy Spirit, of the living God, of the Word of God, and listen to what he has to say about your life, what he has to say about your mind, and just don't hear the words. Let them get down in your soul. Let them get down in your mind. mind. Listen to that word over and over and over and over again. You got to get it in you. Stop studying so much and let it seep down. Stop studying so much and let it get in. Stop studying so much to want to know all the answers to everything. You got to seek the mind of God. You have to seek the mind of Christ. You have to seek the personality of the kingdom. See, you can't always do that studying. You can't always do that with your face in the book. You got to live this thing out. You got to walk it out. You got to get out there and walk it out in the name of Jesus. You have to examine every thought that comes into your mind. I'm going to give you a task in the name of Jesus, born again believer. Your assignment is to monitor every thought that comes out of you, everything you think about. Ask yourself, what is the origin of these thoughts? Ask yourself, you're no longer just going to be a slave to your thought mind. You're no longer going to be just a hostage to your impressions of life. You're going to examine your life and you're going to match it up against the word of God. And you bet not say, well, nobody's perfect. I'm not that. The Bible says, be ye perfect as your Father in heaven is perfect. What is he saying? He's saying, put on the mind of Christ and you'll find the perfection of God. The perfection of God is in the mind of Christ. And you can never know the mind of Christ if you don't examine your own thought life and compare it up against his. And where is God's thought life most evident? Where is God's thought life most appealing? Where is God's thought life most accessible? You go to the Psalms, because those are the prayers of God's thought life. See, the Psalms is how God prays for you. And if you know how God prays for you, then you know how he thinks about you. And if you know how your God thinks about you, then you can begin to compare your thought life to his thought life by way of his son's thought life. And you can begin to realize, oh my God, who have I been talking to? You can begin to say to yourself, oh my God, who have I been listening to? Who's been in my ear all these years, all these decades? In the name of Jesus, I've been following the voice of my God's enemy, the bitterness, the pain, the self-righteousness, the suffering. Everything that's buried deep down in my heart has a voice. All of the things and the hardships I've gone through in my life has a voice. And I've been listening to those voices because now I have something to compare the voice to. I just gave you the secret of breaking the spell that's over many of our lives. You got to get another voice in your heart and in your head. And that voice that you're going to begin to develop in your heart and in your head has power, has flesh and blood power attached to it. It's just not just another voice, you know. You can hear a song over and over and over and it can get in your head, but you got to let the word of God get in your head so you can hear it over and over and over and over again. And it can begin to change your mind, change your outlook, change your focus, change your direction in the name of Jesus. And you just won't accept any other thought. It says, the word says it. They listen to my voice, another voice they won't follow. They won't follow another voice. But unfortunately, many of you born again believers been following the wrong voice. My sheep know my voice. And follow me. Come on. Come on, follow the voice of the Lord. Sheep, my sheep, my sheep, my sheep know my voice and they follow me. And another voice they won't follow, they run away from. Are you running towards God? Are you running away from him? 18-minute preacher, borrowed a little more time. 18-minute preacher had a little something extra he could draw from.